I want to give a sermon. And the first thing I want to say to Catalyst is that I love you very much. I love each one of you very much. And that, and also, I am very, very proud of each one of you. In this scary time, in time of anxiety, in great crisis, as you are walking in the shadow of uncertainties, difficulties, and fear, I am very proud of you because you're choosing to fight the good fight. You're choosing to live by faith. You know, in social distancing and isolation, you are meeting together online in small groups. You're encouraging one another, supporting one another, choosing to love each other. You know, you are also giving when it is very difficult to give. And you know, we're going to fight the good fight together as a church. And in a fight, you get punched, you know, sometime you get the wind knocked out of you. And in a fight, especially a spiritual fight, the opponent is very scary. Yeah. But I'm proud of you because you haven't given up. You choose to fight for this nation. You choose to fight for the family, fight for your church, and fight for God and his kingdom. The title of this sermon is Comfort in Trouble. It's from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 to 4. It says, "Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles." You know, we believe God moves during, you know, powerful worship, when there's freedom, when there's joy, and when there's abundance. But we also need to believe that God moves in our loneliness, in our isolation, in sickness, you know, when we feel weak, when things are uncertain, and when things are scary. When we are isolated, when scared, or when things are uncertain, and when we are sick, there's a promise I want our church to hold on to very tightly. And I want us to hold on to this promise. God comforts us in all our troubles. God comforts us in all our troubles. You know, we know that God is with us when things are working out, when there's a breakthrough, when there's victory. But let's believe together as a church that God is with us when alone, when sick, and when we are afraid. Let's believe God will do his greatest work as the whole world is being shaken. As we hear of death, as we see people getting sick, when you and I get sick, as we hear the word coronavirus again and again and again, let's believe as a church, let's believe as a body of Jesus Christ, God comforts us in all our trouble. You know, the greatest transformation, the greatest miracle, deliverance, and power was shown not when thousands were gathered to hear Jesus' sermon, not when people were singing Hosanna as Jesus entered Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. The greatest transformation, the greatest miracle, the greatest deliverance, the greatest power was released in the death of Jesus Christ. When his disciples were hiding, when there was a great demonic attack and great demonic activities, when the greatest injustice was done, a sinless God, sinless Son of God was crucified. It wasn't Palm Sunday when the whole city was joyful, when the whole city was dancing, when the whole city was singing. It was on Friday when the darkness covered the sun, when the city was crying out, "Crucify him," when Jesus went to the cross, the greatest work of God was done. God paid the penalty for our sin. God gave us eternal life. God gave us new life. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 says this, our temporary and momentary trouble will not last. I want to read this promise again. Our temporary and momentary trouble will not last. You know, the isolation, this shaking, you know, this coronavirus, it might last 1 month, it might last 2 months, maybe even 3 months, maybe even longer. I don't know. Nobody knows for sure. You know? But it's not going to last. Right? It's not going to last. And when it passes, my challenge to you is this. When we look back at this time, let's have no regrets. Okay, when we look back at this time, let's have no regrets. Once this passes, you will look back, and let's not say, you know, when we look back at this time, I was foolish to think that way. I was foolish to do that. I was foolish to feel that. I was foolish to believe in that. I wish I didn't act like that. I wish I didn't do that. Catalyst, right? Once this passes, we're going to look back at this time. And my challenge to you as a church is, let's have no regrets. You know, to have no regrets, I thought about, convicted about three things for our church, specifically for our church. Number one, we need to discern truth during this time. And we need to discern the truth. Please remember, not everything you hear is true. Not everything that speaks on the internet, social media, the TV, the radio, the news knows what they're talking about. Not everything that you think, not everything that you feel is the truth. Proverbs 14 says, gullible believes anything that they are told, but the prudent sift and weigh every word. You know, many have their own agenda during this time. There are many things out there politically motivated. People are doing things and saying things for financial advantage. There are people trying to take advantage of this situation to use fear for their own motivation or own agenda. There are a lot of conspiracies, blame, and fault finding. There are a lot of fear. So, you know, a lot of people thinking the worst, fear something that has remote chance of ever happening. Story continues to build in our mind and in our emotion. What I'm asking the church during this time, don't be a garbage dump, okay? But be a filter. Be a filter. Sift through. Weigh and discern. Discern the lies from the truth. And then receive the truth. Throw away all the garbage. Throw it away. You know, in our church, we believe in the prophetic ministry. And you know what the Bible says about prophetic ministry? And it's a good thing. Prophetic ministry is a beautiful thing. It's a powerful thing. But the Bible says about prophetic ministry, weigh and test everything and discern. If the Bible tells us to discern prophetic ministry, how much more do we need to discern during this time? A time of instant news, internet trolls, fake news, a time of fear and anxiety. As the Bible says, we will not be gullible and believe anything we are told. We as a church will discern during this time. We will sift, we will weigh, we will research, we will discern the truth. And the church said, well, I can't, he just, you know, waved to me, you know. Amen. Amen. Number two, be who we are. Say that to your neighbor, be who we are. Okay. What do I mean by that? You know, before coronavirus, you know, a church could be a church because they had a nice building, expensive high-tech equipment, a big budget, a good business strategy, a good production staff. But in this crisis, I believe it will be exposed. This crisis is going to expose the true weakness of the church during this crisis. During this crisis, it's going to show some of the stuff that's in our heart, but it also will show what's in the heart of a church. You cannot fake God's presence during this time. You cannot fake God's presence with good production team. You cannot manufacture a true community with numbers and statistics. You can't produce authenticity with lights and camera. The coronavirus will reveal the weakness of the church. If a church didn't have God's presence, a loving community, authenticity, it would be revealed during this crisis. Catalyst. You know, we encounter the presence of God before coronavirus, and God is with us now during this crisis. God showed himself to us when we were meeting in the sanctuary, and God is with us as we meet online. Before the coronavirus, you know, we had a strong community, and during this crisis, our community will be stronger. This social distancing is not going to stop us from loving each other, encouraging each other, praying for each other, and supporting each other. If the church was legalistic, if the church was about performance, the coronavirus will reveal it. If the church had a lot of conflict, was critical and judgmental, the coronavirus will expose it. Catalyst, we are an authentic disciple of Jesus Christ. We were real and vulnerable and genuine before this crisis. This crisis will not be able to take that away from us. We will be more authentic in the midst of this storm. And the church said, amen, amen. The third thing is the most important thing. And I just put it into one word. The third thing is during this crisis, so that we don't have any regret, is Jesus. It's Jesus. You know, you can go up and down with social media. You can go up and down with the news. You can go up and down with how you feel. You can go up and down depending on the circumstances. You can go up and down depending on people's opinion. Or Jesus is your anchor. Or Jesus is your anchor. We as a nation in Bergen County, in our church, and in our homes, with this global crisis, there will be changes because of this. There will be changes. After 9/11 changed the whole world. Coronavirus will pass, yes, but with it will come changes. But the Bible says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. What is unchanging? That unchanging things that we could hold on to during this crisis. God knows everything I am going through. God cares about what I am going through. God has the power to change what I am going through. God always acts out of his goodness to me. God's plan is always better than my plan. God will never stop loving me. I cannot lose my salvation once I put my trust in Jesus Christ. Remember, no matter what I go through, God will go through it with me. Say to your neighbor, God will go through it with me. Every stage, every phase, every crisis, you are never alone. God is with you. Even when you don't feel it, God is with you. And I just want to encourage those who are sick. I know people don't understand what you're going through. And you feel all alone in your room. But this is the truth. God is with you right now. He is with you. Isaiah 43 verse 2 says, when you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you pass through rivers of difficulties, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned up. It will not consume you. Let's remember together as a church. This is in conclusion. Let's remember together as a church. Remember that coronavirus is not the end of the story. Revelation 21 verse 4 says this. Then God will wipe every tear from their eyes. And there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things will pass away. This is a promise from God to us. One day, all our pain, suffering, sorrow, stress, grief will end. We will see Jesus face to face, and we will live eternity in heaven with Jesus and with one another. Brother Young, can you lead us into worship? Let's just join our heart together, and the Lord will flow through us, flow through this church. As we worship, let the Lord encourage you. Let the Lord comfort you, renew you, give you hope, heal, and set you free.